Hashem, we recently began a new cycle of Kriyas HaTorah, so maybe we'll talk a little bit about learning Chumash, learning Tanakh, and for tonight, just two subtopics within that. Well, one of the methods which has become very popular as of late, built heavily on word association. You find a word here in this context, you find the same word in another context, and that association, one teases out of that association certain intimations, certain implications, and tries to arrive at insight into the psukim based on that, and uncover dimensions of pshat through that approach. The approach kishal atzmo is not invalid. The approach kishal atzmo is not invalid. Going backwards chronologically, Bala Turim does it all the time. Bala Turim tells you that you find this word twice in this phrase or this word you find two times in Tanakh. The Bala Turim obviously had the Bar Ilan and did his word searches. He somehow always knows how many times words and phrases appear in Tanakh. So he obviously invented the... And you find it in Chazal? You certainly do find that type of springboard for analysis in Chazal as well. So it's not a question of whether the method is a valid approach. But what's important to understand is that perhaps of all approaches to Tanakh, It requires that a person be so mole v'gadush in terms of Torah, in terms of having an intuition for what can be said, what can't be said, what is a potential legitimate understanding and what isn't. Because Moshe Lamad Avadom, let's talk about the gematrios for a moment. Okay, so that gematrios are a branch of Chochmah is Pirkei Avos. It's not there's nothing disputable or controversial about that. But the fact that in terms of numerology, two words have the same number doesn't point you to what the significance is. I mean, A, it doesn't even mean that there is significance. And afilu in Timse Lomar, that you had a Gili Eliyahu when you fell asleep during Seder, and Eliyahu HaNavi told you that there is significance to the fact that these two words have the same numerology. But it doesn't point you in any direction to what that significance is. So a person who's mole v'gadush b'Torah can take that fact and interpret it in a Taradika fashion. But a person who's not, he may succeed, he may hit a home run, but he may also end up projecting onto the canvas of Torah just his own ideas. And there's very little control in that. So from Droshes Chazal, there are Droshes Chazal how long a Nazirus has to be, down to the Stipler's Gematrios in our day, and it's part of Torah. But the point is, it's one of the hardest and most difficult approaches to psukim, because it doesn't, there's no indication which gematria is significant, or what to do with it, what to do with the fact that I recognize this mathematical convergence. And the same is true with the word associations. Presumably, if you find the word two or three times in Tanakh, there's a very good chance that it's not coincidental, and but what they are, there's very little, if any, clue or cue based on that per se, and because of that, the method is only one that can be consistently, successfully employed by someone who knows a lot, knows a tremendous amount, and has a feel for what's a correct pshat, what's a possible pshat, and what's beyond the realm of possibility. Moshel ma'adavadome. It's not a self-sufficient, comprehensive derech halimud in Gemara to say that you read and you're medayik in the lashon, you're medayik in the lashon of Gemara, you're medayik in the lashon of Rashi. So avada, every word in the Gemara, every word in Rashi, is calculated. This is kodesh kodashim. But adiyuk in Rashi, so then adiyuk in Rashi doesn't do anything for you unless a person knows how to think about a sugya, knows how to think about a question, knows how to. It's part of learning, but it's not the fact that a person has the sensitivity to notice. That word is extra, so that just gives food for thought. But then a person has to A, be trained in how to think, and B, not only how to think, but to know what's a possible acceptable pshat and what's not possible. So it's important to realize that again the method is valid. It has its place, just like the materials have their place. But a person has to. It requires tremendous. Tremendous yedias and a tremendous chush for Torah and what are genuine Torah ideas and what's a genuine chiddush and a genuine insight. And if a person is lacking that, he may strike gold at times, but he may also end up imputing to the Torah things which are not Torahic. I think the Rav used to tell a story. Someone once came to the Netziv. And he wanted a haskama and sefer for gematrias. So he says, I don't give haskamas for some gematrias. So the guy tainted, Balaturim is full of gematrias. So Tziv told him, he says, there was once a store owner. He ran a general store. So there was one customer who was a very, very big customer of his. He used to place big orders all the time. Like he hayom, once this customer on his way out, so he accidentally closed the door a little bit too strongly and the pane of glass broke. So the store owner ran over to him and said, don't worry about it. The customer offered to pay for it. He said, no, it's no problem. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. After that, a guy who happened to have witnessed this, he comes sporadically to the store. He buys a needle here. He buys a thimble here. Well, that's a little bit of nickel and dime business. But he saw the gvil slammed the door and got away with it. So when he leaves, so he slams the door and it also breaks. And the store owner comes running after him and says, "You're going to pay me for that, you mazik. What are you doing, mazik mamon achem? What are you doing?" So he says, I don't understand you. You were so accommodating to the previous customer. So he says, "What don't you understand? The previous customer gives me thousands and thousands of rubles of business every month. So of course I'm going to be marchal you for the 2 pennies you give me. I should be marchal the glass." So when Tziv says, "You go write that bar to him, I'll give you a house from and you'll save the materials." Another issue to be aware of in terms of learning Chumash, learning Tanakh, is what axioms we're supposed to have in understanding stories about the Ovis, about the Shiftei Ka, about figures in Nach. And the seeming, underscoring that word, the seeming tension between sometimes the pshatin that are suggested and what seems to register upon us as pshuto shel mikra. So one I think prime example is to. With Yosef and the Shiftei Ka, Vayikanu Vayecha, Vayisnu Osa, Vayachlu Dabu L'Shalom. So the two options seem to be either, yeah, if one's going to be honest and faithful to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, so the brothers were jealous and the brothers hated him and sibling rivalry, v'chul. The alternative says, no, Chas v'Shalom, that can't be the case, but what do you do with the words in the Chumash? What do you do with the words in the Chumash? So the Moshel Ma'adav Adom. Moshel Ma'adav Adom. Let's say you're learning, Shvias this year. You're learning a Yerushalmi and Shvias, Shver Yerushalmi, Shver Yerushalmi. So you go over to a little boy in first grade, in Yeshiva Tana, ask him what's Pshat in Yerushalmi. So he says, "I don't know." Then you get on a plane, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you take a Sherut to Bnei Brak, go to Chaim Kanievsky, ask him what's Pshat in this Yerushalmi. He says, "Taka Ashrei Yerushalmi." I don't know Pshat. So they said the exact same words. Did they mean the same thing? The little kid said, "I'm holding by Gimel. There's a Dalit in this word. I don't know what it means." Chaim Kanievsky, he's cheshbening. There's 3 Tosefta's here. There's 5 Yerushalmi's here. And the 6 Bavli's here. And don't forget the Tikkunei Zohar over there. So I can't reconcile all that with the Yerushalmi. Lemaisa, they said the same words. So it's an ukimta. You're not being faithful to Pshuto Shel Mikra if you say that Chaim Kanievsky meant something different by his Eini Yodeya than the first grader. So obviously what the simple pshat is, what the Pshuto Shel Mikra is contextual. It depends who's saying it. It depends. I think they tell the story that the Rav once called in someone in Shir and says, so what does the Gemara mean? So the Talmud starts translating what the words mean. So I say, yeah, I figured out what the translation of the words means, but what does the Gemara mean? So when a person says something, so what the words mean, or when we're given a description of a person, so what that description is expressing is very much a function of who said it. Who said, "I don't know"? That will determine what the Pshuto Shel Mikra, "I don't know," is. And the description, what is that description expressing? It depends upon who it's a description, of whom that description is being provided. So what's Pshat with Yosef and the brothers? Did they have jealousy? Yeah, that's what it says in the pasuk. Yeah, the brothers were jealous. And did they hate him? Yes, the brothers hated him. But Yisnu also. They hate him. That's what it says, and that's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Now, does it mean that they had jealousy the way we, with our katnas hamochen, experience jealousy? Does it mean that they hated him the way we, with our katnas hamochen, are familiar with the emotion of sinna? So that's like equating the first grader's Ani Yodea with Uchaim Kanievsky's Ani Yodea about the Yerushalmi. So what does it really mean? I don't know. So maybe Chassidei Elyon, Gedolim, Kedoshim, maybe they understand what it means. Does it mean they had jealousy? Yes. Does it mean they hated him? Yes. But it means, on their level, whatever, the same way, we don't know when an Odom Godel says Ani Yodea, we don't know what his, we know what his tzadim are. We know what his tzadim, hasafik are, that results in and that generates the Ani Yodea. We don't know. But we know that on his level, he's an Ani Yodea, which is very, very different than what the Ani Yodea means on our level. And it's not Pshuto Shel Mikra to impute the first grader's Ani Yodea to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. The same way, it's not Pshuto Shel Mikra for me to impute the kinna that I experience and the sinna that I feel onto the shift they caught. So that lechor is the cause of Ashlishi. Now it is true. I think the Rambam comments on the pasuk in Mishlei Tapuche Zav Maskios Kosef that the Torah is compared to gold with a silver wrapping. So gold is more valuable than silver. But sometimes you get a present, it's a nice present, but you really like the wrapping paper also. So it's nice, a nice wrapping paper. So you try to, you open the present carefully that you should be able to save the wrapping paper also, because the wrapping paper also has value. It doesn't have the same value as the present, as the contents. And you should never mistake one for the other. You should know which is the wrapping paper, and it's only intended as wrapping, as embellishment. But it also has value. So it is true that there are lessons to be learned even on the superficial level. So, for instance, Chazal say, again, coming to the story of the Yosef and the Shiftei Kor, that a father, a parent, shouldn't play favorites. Because Yaakov Avinu played favorites, and because of that, he gave Yosef the Ksonis Pasim, and because of that, the brothers had so much resentment, and the Golus Mitzrayim resulted from that act of favoritism. So, Yaakov Avinu was playing favorites again the way we would be playing favorites, that, he gets all A's in his report card, so he's my favorite, and he only gets B pluses on his report card, so I don't have as much patience for him. And the one who comes home with B minuses, forget it. Write him out of my will. So that's how Yaakov Avinu is being depicted. So the Torah says, Avada, Chazal, I'm telling us that on the level on which this lesson is meaningful to us, that's the pshat in what's happening between Yaakov and Yosef and the Shiftei Kor. Just like the Vayisnu and the Vayikanu doesn't mean what we know firsthand from our experience, what jealousy means and what hatred is. But Afel Pichein, Tapuche Zov, and Maskios Kosef. That even on that level, as long as we don't make the mistake of thinking that that's the ultimate pshat, that that's the real Omek Hadova as to what's happening, but even the fact that on that level it can, on that superficial wrapping paper level, it conveys that message. So yeah, so then that's also an intended message, but not intended as the insightful, correct pshat as to, and it shouldn't be mistaken. The same way, whatever the brothers sinna and kinna is on their level shouldn't be confused with the sinna and kinna we know. So whatever Yaakov Avinu was doing shouldn't be confused for the favoritism that we might be inclined or prone to demonstrate as parents. But afal pichein, the lesson is still there. But it needs to be understood not on the level of ultimate pshat, that this is what that this is what was happening between Yaakov and his children.